Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City Star. Big one right out of the chute. Big, big one. The Chiefs at home against Baltimore tomorrow night at Arrowhead Stadium. Jesse, the time has arrived. This looks like an epic game. We thought it was an epic game in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Chiefs made it not an epic game. Do they have the capability of doing that again tomorrow?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, I remember walking up to, the Ravens Stadium last year, and it did feel sort of like this was going to be the coronation. You know, the fans were obviously excited. They hadn't hosted a championship game in their stadium for, it was either 50 or 60 years. Obviously a raucous atmosphere before the game, but it did feel like this was kind of the time to take it away from the Chiefs. This was the opponent. This was the location. And then the Chiefs did something to the Ravens that no team had all year, which was sort of they punched them in the mouth and got them behind double digits. And all of a sudden the Ravens kind of didn't know how to respond to that and seemed to, you know, didn't run the football as much as they had the rest of the season, seemed to panic a little bit when things didn't go their way. And obviously the Chiefs defense had a lot to do with that and being able to blitz Lamar Jackson, confuse him a little bit and get the Ravens away from what they wanted to do. So yeah, it'll be another great matchup. And, you know, again, we look at things like that and with one ball bouncing one way or something going another way, or, you know, if Drew Tranquil doesn't catch Lamar Jackson completing a deflected pass to himself, maybe that goes for an 85-yard touchdown. And we're talking about the Chiefs playing the Ravens in Baltimore as, you know, a game that's happening because the Ravens won the Super Bowl last year. But like you said, I mean, about as good a matchup as you can start with, but the Chiefs defense will have its hand full again with Lamar Jackson, and now you have to deal with Derrick Henry as well.
I'm interested in the wide receiver situation because, you know, they have Rashee Rice coming back as a proven guy, but then you have Hollywood Brown who will miss tomorrow's game, and, of course, Xavier Worthy. Do you get the sense that Xavier Worthy will see increased production tomorrow because Hollywood Brown is out, or maybe kind of in spite of that? Does he kind of fill a bigger role even when Hollywood Brown comes back?
Yeah, so this is an interesting game for that because I agree with the main point, which is like with Hollywood Brown out, they need Xavier Worthy to step on the field and be good right away and be somebody they can rely upon. But what's interesting is last year, at least, Baltimore was so good against deep passes and not allowing them. And we know Worthy, that's sort of his game. You know, the Chiefs have been wild with how he can track passes downfield, how he's been able to adjust his body and take good routes and catch them. So he's kind of one of those guys that even if he's running routes all game, kind of like MBS did last year, it's not going to take many plays for him to, you know, not do much. Okay, there's two catches for, you know, 78 yards, potentially a touchdown. A little bit like you remember with DeSean Jackson, what he did with Andy Reid back when he started his career in Philadelphia. So I don't know that this is the perfect matchup for Xavier Worthy because of how well the Ravens have been able to bring pressure, bring creative pressure, and not allow teams to get the ball downfield, especially against two of the best safeties in the league back there, including Kyle Hamilton. But at the same point, I do think the Chiefs need Xavier Worthy out there, and they need him to produce, and they need him to be reliable because Hollywood Brown's not going to be out there, and because the rest of their receiving core is more rotation pieces than guys that you would expect them to rely upon when you're talking behind Rashee Rice in that receiver room. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup to start off with, but I do think they have high expectations for Xavier Worthy. I actually just wrote a feature on him today, and from the 18-minute interview they did with him at the NFL Combine, they loved his football intelligence and his smarts. And so we'll see if that plays up right away, if he's able to line up correctly and do all of those small things to allow him to be productive in this first game of his NFL career.
Jesse Newell, our guest. We're talking Chiefs-Ravens. That kicks off the NFL season tomorrow night. So we saw that the Chiefs have picked up Samaje Perine.
P. Ryan.
Gosh, that name gets me every time, to back up Isaiah Pacheco. But then there's another guy in there, Carson Steele, and he opened some eyes in the exhibition season. He kind of has a feel of a guy that's going to have a decent role in this offense. Do you agree? Do you think Carson Steele can be a factor this early?
Yeah, I'll tell you why I never forget Samaje Perine's name is because 10 years ago, I was the KU beat writer, went down to Oklahoma, and he had 430 or so yards in about 3 1/8 quarters and was able to set the college football and NCAA football record for rushing yards in a game. And so, yeah, I heard Samaje Perine's name over the loudspeaker quite a few times that day and didn't forget it ever since then. But, no, you're right, Carson Steele is going to be a fan favorite. The guy has a pet alligator named Crocky J. Teammates have nicknamed him Crocodile. He's got the blonde flowing locks. He's a very likable kid. You know, been talking to him in the locker room this week, excited about, you know, what's ahead with him, and a guy that was an outside chance to make the roster and really just earned his way on. We talk about the Chiefs coaches loving guys they can trust and know where they're going to be and be in the right spots. And that's the one compliment Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, gave right away to Carson Steele, is that he was in the right spots. Whatever they asked him to do, he was able to do it. So Nagy cautioned a little bit this week Carson Steele's role, to say not to expect too much from him. It is going to be his first NFL game. He still is a young guy compared to the others, but I don't know that they have much of an option right now. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco, we know he's going to get a lot of carries in there. He loves a full workload. He worked on his hands in the offseason, so potentially can be in there more on passing situations as well. But Samaje Perine just got there, guys, and he's trying to learn a playbook. He's trying to learn what he can do in a week's worth of time. And so I think Carson Steele's going to have to get some carries, and he'll obviously be out there for special teams. He'll be out there for kick return and doing those duties. But I do think they're going to have to give him the football, and if they do, you know, he's broken tackles. He's shown a great ability to make guys miss and shown a nasty stiff arm in the preseason as well. So I'm actually interested to see how he does. I think the Chiefs should give him a few carries just to see what they have in this kid, and potentially if he can be sort of the thunder along with the thunder that Isaiah Pacheco has in that backfield. And if that's the case for the Chiefs, then they obviously got an undrafted Steele and Carson Steele and potentially can help their backfield with a guy that they didn't put many resources into.
What do you think about the matchup for the Chiefs defensively against Baltimore? Not much turnover. Do they hit the ground running? And what do they miss in not having Legarius Sneed, not only on the field, but as a locker room guy?
Yeah, I think, you know, Legarius was kind of a quiet sort of leader. He didn't say too much, but obviously the physicality started with him. You know, him seeing some of his highlights from last year where he's like jammed Tyreek Hill in the playoffs and put him on the ground. I mean, that felt like that's how that playoff game went. The Chiefs were the team in that, you know, frigid temperature that actually wanted to be out there, that wanted to play physically, and that wanted to go win the football game. I think Legarius Sneed really embodied that sort of mindset from the Chiefs. And so they missed that from him, but they're going to miss his production as well. I mean, right now, guys, the secondary is a little bit of a mess just because the guys that you figure would be CB2 behind Trent McDuffie, they've all been hurt in training camp and have missed some time. So talking Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Najee Johnson, there really has been no cohesiveness there. And Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, even admitted earlier this week that nobody's really won that job. They're going to mix and match and see how guys do there. So I think you're right, though. You know, the one thing when I was breaking down this matchup and trying to come up with a prediction for it was I just kept coming back to, it's interesting that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, but yet Baltimore's defense is kind of what it normally looks like after you win the Super Bowl, which is they lost their defensive coordinator, they lost their defensive line coach, they lost their cornerbacks coach, and then they lost some guys in free agency that is totally natural. You know, Patrick Queen goes and takes a big deal from somewhere else. Jadeveon Clowney goes and takes a big deal from somewhere else. Whereas you look at the Chiefs sideline, you're like, well, they got their defensive coordinator back, their linebackers coach back, their D-line coach back, their cornerbacks coach back. And other than Legarius Sneed, they bring back a really young team that was pretty good a year ago. So I think if any game could play into sort of the continuity factor, these two teams you're looking at right now, the Chiefs would have the advantage because these guys know the playbook and they are with coaches they were with last year in roles that they were in last year when they won a championship. Can't say the same for Baltimore. So how much will that help? I can't tell you, but if I was going to lean the matchup in one team's favor or potentially look at this matchup and say one team might have a little bit of an edge, I would say the Chiefs for that reason. They're not loving where they're at injury-wise. They're not loving where they're at personnel-wise, but I think they have to love where they're at from a continuity standpoint, and that definitely means something this early in the season.
All right, just a minute or two left. I do want to ask you about Travis Kelce. We're talking with Jesse Newell from The Star. He'll be 35 in a month. They've built up some depth behind him at tight end. Do you expect him to have another big year? And secondly, what's the Taylor Swift factor going to be in 2025? It certainly can't be as front and center as it was last year, right?
I don't know. I saw some people online. The NFL put out a promo video for this year, a hype video for this year, and I guess like Taylor Swift was in it 5 or 6 times and Lamar Jackson was in it once. So potentially this thing is going to kind of continue to ride on, you know, throughout this season. But as far as Travis Kelce goes, I always have to look up the stat, but he's 4 months younger than Rob Gronkowski. And Rob Gronkowski had a Hall of Fame career, retired, came back, won another Super Bowl, and now has been retired again for years. And still Travis Kelce is considered one of the best tight ends in the NFL at age 35. So Is there going to be a step back? I think so. He's not as good yards after catch anymore. He's not as elusive or fast as he used to be, but he still has that ESP with Mahomes, and we talked to him yesterday at the podium, and he said if the coaches are going to try to take him out and limit his snaps, he's not going to be into that. He's not going to listen to him, just like he didn't listen to him in the Super Bowl, getting in Andy Reid's face and bumping him there on the sidelines. So a little bit less production, I would think so. That's kind of natural with that position, especially at that position. But to think that Travis Kelce's not going to have an impact, I don't think you can say that either, just because him and Mahomes have such a special connection. He can find seams that other guys can't. So I guess we'll see how it turns out. I would expect lesser numbers from him, but still a huge impact because he still is Travis Kelce, and he's still working with Patrick Mahomes.
And we made it through this interview without mentioning three, Pete. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me. I'm proud of Jeff. Thank you, Jesse. It's always a pleasure.
Appreciate it, guys. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.